It is time for your KD&K local newscast for this Monday morning, December 5th. I'm your host, Steve Cole, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District. In October, the Garfield County Democratic Party filed a request with 9th Judicial District Attorney Sherry Kaloya, calling for an investigation into County Commissioner John Martin's alleged mishandling of county funds. Kaloya then filed a motion in district court for a special prosecutor, citing a conflict of interest. But District Judge James Boyd has yet to respond. KD&K's Amy Haddon-Marr spoke with DA Kaloya for an update.
The last we spoke, we were sort of waiting to see if Judge Boyd was going to approve a request for the 5th Judicial District DA to investigate this case.
That's correct. Since that time, John Martin, through his attorney, filed a response to my motion for a special prosecutor and essentially said that because circumstances are now changed, since I've lost the election, I no longer have a conflict because the budget is pretty much set for this year, and I no longer have to worry about any budgeting issues, and so I no longer have a conflict and that I should do the investigation myself.
Well, you're still in office until when?
Until January 10th.
If you investigate while you're still in office, that seems to me that would go with your claim of a conflict of interest.
Well, it could, but my budget for this year is set. I'm not worried that anything could happen regarding the budget. I'm not asking for any additional monies, and we have already been pretty much allocated the monies that will take us through the end of the year. And I do agree that I don't really have much financial interest anymore in this position because everything has been done and I'm not going to be here next year for the most part.
I don't understand why the budget should matter at this point.
The reason for the conflict was because the county commissioners of Garfield County, along with other counties, because they determine the amount of money that I get every year, that I would be financially interested in the matter and in not stirring the pot because I might then receive less money for my office needs. At this point, I've lost, and the money this year, anyway, is pretty much set, and the budget for next year has been approved. I'm not concerned about that issue anymore. There's really not much, if anything, the county could do to change what's already been done.
So your office really has nothing to lose by investigating John Martin?
Right now, right.
Are you going to do that between now and January 10th?
Well, the judge has not ruled on the motion yet, and I will wait for him to decide whether I have a conflict. In the most abundance of caution, I'll abide by his rule, whatever he says. If he says he agrees, there's no conflict, I will undertake a review of the matter and issue a decision if I have time. If he decides I do have a conflict, then it'll get sent over to whatever district attorney it's assigned to.
Does Judge Boyd have a timeline in which he needs to respond?
No, actually he doesn't.
So he could take his time?
He could take his time. And if I am then out of office, the new DA could then assert that he has a conflict.
Could the new DA drop this altogether?
Yes, he could.
He could continue the investigation or he could just drop it?
He could withdraw the request for a special prosecutor and say there's no issue. Yeah, he could do that.
Any idea which way that could go?
Nope.
Well, thanks very much for taking the time, Sherry Kaloya.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
That was outgoing 9th Judicial District Attorney Sherry Kaloya. KD&K will continue to follow the story. Coming up today on Geek Speak at 4:30, the foremost communications attorney representing local governments in Colorado talks with News Director Gavin Dahl about the significance of the 2016 elections for statewide and national media policy. 26 more communities in Colorado voted for local control of broadband infrastructure. Here's a clip of attorney Ken Fellman.
We have this bill that was passed in 2005, and it was strongly influenced by the big providers in the industry. And it was really an attempt to create hurdles for local governments getting into the broadband business, either by providing services directly, for example, like the city of Longmont does, but also even to create hurdles for local governments that do not want to be service providers but want to invest in building new or expanding broadband networks where they can then do public-private partnerships with private providers or ISPs who will connect to backbone networks and use that to expand broadband into other new communities where we don't have either good broadband, or maybe you have some, but not competition. And obviously, local governments have a variety of reasons why they want to do this. In the rural areas, it's more a question of just getting good broadband. And in some of the areas that have some decent broadband, it may be an effort to get competition and lower prices. With all the hurdles in this legislation, there is an ability through a local vote to exempt a community from the restrictions of the statute. And I think what we're seeing in the last few years, as broadband has become more and more important and better understood by local elected officials as to just how important it is for the future of their communities and how frustrated people are about the lack of good broadband or the lack of competition, that these communities are saying, we don't know exactly what we want to do yet, but we want to have the flexibility to take some kind of action to help either incent others to build broadband in our communities or to build it ourselves. We're really seeing this huge number of communities, and not just passing these things by small margins, but they're all passing by really large margins, you know, 70 to 30. Some of the ones that passed a couple of years ago were over 90%. Mm-hmm. And to me, that demonstrates that it's really a bill that, if there was any reason for it in 2005, the reasons don't exist anymore now. And I would love to see the bill eliminated completely, and that may or may not happen. And if it doesn't happen, I think we'll see more and more municipalities and counties voting to opt out in the future.
There are some fantastic projects here in Western Colorado. Rio Blanco County is building a countywide fiber and wireless network with fiber on its way to every home and business in Rangeley and Meeker, the only two towns in that county. We spoke to IT Chief Blake Mobley on Geek Speak back in October. Meanwhile, the Delta Montrose Electric Association has begun taking orders for gigabit internet to homes and businesses in Paonia and South Montrose. This week, we heard Lieutenant Governor Donna Lynn stress the importance of rural broadband. What would it take for 2017 to finally be the year that something changes in the state law?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, here we are at the beginning of December, and I am hearing from some sources that there's going to be an effort to have this law repealed. I've heard from others that, well, maybe not a full repeal, maybe some modifications to it, which is what we dealt with last year. And it's just so hard to predict, given the very strong influence that the industry providers have at the state capitol, to really say, is this the year that we're going to get rid of this bill? I think there's a chance we could, and I think if we're not successful, I mean, there are a lot of other issues that local governments may need to deal with at the capitol this year. Some are broadband and communications related, and many others are not. And I suspect that if it looks like there's a movement and a decent possibility to have this bill repealed, local governments will be working hard to do that. If it looks like there's enough opposition that that's not possible, I suspect that local governments will probably use their limited resources on other issues that they deem more important. Not that they're more important than broadband, but given the fact that so many communities have opted out, that will remain the viable option if the bill is not repealed.
Tune in to Geek Speak at 4:30 today for more from Communications Attorney Ken Feldman within KDNK's listening area. Voters in Aspen, Basalt, Carbondale, Newcastle, Parachute, Silt, and Garfield County all approved broadband ballot items in 2016. In 29 of Colorado's 64 counties plus 66 municipalities, voters have supported local control over the development of affordable high-speed internet connectivity. Colorado is expected to see modest job growth next year across many industries. A new economic outlook was released today by CU Boulder's controversial lead school of business. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Employment growth will be lower than in previous years, but still at about 2.5%. The economic report says construction and leisure and hospitality will experience the highest rates of growth. Jobs in natural resources and mining will largely remain flat. Agriculture will also take a hit. Economists say that's partly because of low prices for cattle and grain, combined with recent weather fluctuations and drought. Colorado is expected to remain in the top 10 states for employment growth in the coming year. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
KDNK staff and board want to thank everyone who is part of our annual Labor of Love auction. The numbers are still being finalized, so we don't have an exact total to report yet, but it was a very successful fundraiser. KDNK membership director Bodie Stanberry led the effort. With support from staff, board, and volunteers, big thanks to our sponsors Roaring Fork Beer Company, Marble Distilling, Pepino's, Fat Thai, Carbondale Beer Works, Alpine Bank, ANB Bank, and Isberian Rugs. Thanks to everyone who donated to our auction. Thanks to everyone who bid at the auction. Thanks to DJ Moot for spinning great music. And thanks to Steve Skinner for bringing in the most auction items. During December, the White River National Forest will conduct pile burning in the Baylor Park area. Up 4 Mile Road, slash piles have been created for burning in project areas where other means of disposal are not feasible. Fire professionals will monitor the pile burning daily until the piles smolder out. Ideal conditions for pile burning require adequate ventilation or light winds for smoke dispersion and some permanent snow on the ground to keep fires contained to the piles. Smoke may be visible from 4 Mile Road and Sunlight Ski Area. More info at 945-3271.